What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Hot Shots. I'm JD. With me always is Dino and D-Paw. What's poppin', boys?
Commanders are 2-0 for the first time since 2011. I'm feeling good.
I'm loving it. I'm loving Dean's vibes going on since 2011. That's awesome, man. I'm happy for you, bud.
A baker's dozen. Oh, no, wait. It's a dozen. Shit.
No. Yeah, just a normal dozen, yeah.
Whatever.
Dino, you got
some... How you
some,
doing, Jedi?
I'm doing all right. Dino, you got a little bit of an odd mix, I guess. I forget that you're always a Commanders fan. I always think because of the Rangers, Yanks, and Knicks that you would be a Giants fan, but no.
Yes. No, so my...
Commanders.
Yeah, so my... Obviously, look, my parents grew up in New York, but my dad's summer vacations were in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. At the time, the Skins had training camp at Dickinson College in Carlisle. My grandparents' house was across the street. So we owned like a restaurant there, and Skins would come in there and eat all the time, and it just kind of stuck. Plus,
yeah, I love that little connection.
Yeah, plus, like, let's be honest, if you're from New York, getting to East Rutherford isn't really like the easiest trip in the world. So
it's a little easier now because they got that whole mall there now. There's a lot more parking, a lot more stuff to do. Before, there was really nothing to do outside of MetLife Stadium. It was in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, place is a shithole.
Yeah, the renovation. They renovated, but it still ain't good. Right now, though, what we're going to be talking about, what is going on with the Los Angeles Angels? Lies are amongst us. We need to understand what's going on within this organization, inside the walls, and we're going to break it down right now. So, this week, there have been quite a few things that have been reported. Earlier this week, Shohei Ohtani cleared out his locker, and the Angels front office refused to talk about it. The next day, it was reported that he strained his oblique and is out for the year. They say that he left because he wants to focus on getting his elbow procedure done. We talked about how he has a UCL tear. Trout was told that the Angels will trade him if he asks for it. This is a generational talent in the face of their franchise for so many years, so it's kind of shocking. It's like, wow, now you're really giving in, making Trout a little... giving him a little bit of freedom. And then lastly, we got Anthony Rendon injury has all been a lie. Now reporting that he has a fractured tibia, and the Angels have refused to report this information. What is going on with the Angels? I mean, we talked about a curse, but this sounds like an internal mess.
No, so like, dude, like I don't feel bad anymore. Like, I really don't. Like, the Ohtani thing, you're covering up. Like, he's gone. He's walking. Like, you can say whatever you want. He's going to get a surgery, whatever. He's gone. Like, he cleaned out his locker for a reason. You can spin it however you want. Trout, a generational talent, yes. When healthy, you got to ship him out. And the Rendon thing, you threw, what, $300 million at a guy that had, like, one good postseason? Like, it's just, to me, it's – and then not only to mention the dumpster fire at the trade deadline. I just – I don't feel bad anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the Ohtani packing up his stuff and getting the hell out of Dodge is pretty telling. You know, just think about it too. Like if at least how I look at it, if I was in that position, yeah, the end of the season post-trade deadline didn't go as everyone had hoped and planned. You get an injury, if it's a legit injury, because I think it's bogus. I think that just came out as positive PR spin. If it really was an oblique, he's not packing up his shit and leaving. Like, mm-hmm. You're not just going to leave. Like, you're going to be around the team. Like, yeah, you do that at locker cleanout day. Like, why would you just pack up all of your stuff and get out of there unless that's a direct message to the organization?
Now, he was there today in the dugout, but my point behind this whole thing is that they said that he was going to be focusing on his elbow procedure, but why would the Los Angeles Angels front office not report a simple injury like an oblique strain? It almost sounds like we don't know why he left. There might be some internal conflict between Ohtani and the Angels, and it's like, we need the night to figure out to say some BS, and it seems like everybody kind of bought it, but not here. I'm telling you right now, I think that there's something fishy going on right now, and it's not being reported, and I don't know if we'll ever find out.
Well, like, dude, you can go back to the Skaggs situation, too. Like, a lot of people have overlooked that and forgot about that situation. The Angels organization is not in a good situation and hasn't been for a while. Like, they might need to clean house and bring somebody in, like, a complete new ownership group that's going to clean house and, like, kind of steer it back into, like, a morally good place, because I just don't know if they have it right now.
Yeah, a lot of questions are going to be in the air. I don't know what they're going to be doing this off season, but a lot of things need to change. I think number one is definitely going to be what you're going to do with Trout, because if you keep Trout, that means that you're going to be trying to kind of keep competing, because I doubt nobody's going to want him. Like, people are clearly going to want to trade for him if it's true that he is on the trading block. But again, that will be his decision, because they said if Trout wants to be traded, they will go with that. Talked about it with you right before this, but did you guys see the referee at the Seahawks game? See his iconic quote that what he had to say to Geno Smith?
No, I didn't. Excuse me. I am talking to America here, Jedi. Excuse me.
I'm sorry. It's something worth mentioning. That was maybe the quote of the year in sports. I loved every second of that.
That was awesome. Like, I just love hot mics. Unless you're Tom Brenneman.
Oh. Did you also see, speaking of Nicholas Castellanos, if you don't know what Houdini is talking about, you can look that up for yourself. We're not going to sit here and discuss what was said on the hot mic.
No, but hold on. But allow me to say, it's one of the most memorable moments ever
for me. Never forget it.
Ever. And it's like zero feel at all. I screwed up. That's fine. Some people apologize and just move on. No, this dude doubled down.
Honestly, the thing about that too is that what Dino is talking about, ever since that moment with the hot mic situation, Nicholas Castellanos has hit a home run every time something terrible has happened.
Every time.
And
dude,
I saw something yesterday at the Phillies game, and someone was on their phone, and it said, three orphan houses burned down. And they said, oh, wow, Nicholas Castellanos up.
Dude,
do you want to guess what happened?
Yeah, he
hit a home run.
Yeah, dude. Yeah,
of course he did.
It's unbelievable, man.
The assassin. Someone needs to look out for him, honestly. Right here, though, we're going to go right into truth or fluke. Got three little big discussion points on the topic for today. First up, the Orioles' division lead. It has dwindled, and they just had a big series against the Rays, and now they have a one-game lead. They did clinch a playoff berth last night.
This is the truth. The Rays, let's not pretend like the Rays aren't a really good baseball team either. Like, I might have been wrong when I said this might be the end of the Rays once Wander went down. This might be their saving grace, to be honest with you, to kind of reset. You'll get out of that contract, and they'll be able to kind of do some things. The McClanahan injury hurts, but the Orioles are for real, and their lineup's for real. Pitching staff is okay. It's sufficient enough to win baseball games. Will it translate to the playoffs? I don't know. They still are missing a dominant arm. Like, if they had a Strider or, like, a Gallen, like, maybe I can say, hey, this team's got a real shot, but there's not an easy out in that lineup. So I think they're the truth. I think their lead is the truth. I think they hold on to it.
I agree. I think they're the truth as well. You know, it used to be their number one prospect in the organization, Grayson Rodriguez, pitcher, kind of came up and got rocked a little bit earlier in the year. He just turned in a gem the other night. If they can get, you know, that type of performance, or even not that great of a performance, but solid quality start out of a young arm like that, young talented arm, that might be the little jolt that they need. You know, it isn't going to come from the outside. The trade deadline's gone. So from within the organization, a guy that you're hoping takes a big step does take a big step. The lineup is legit. That's one of the best lineups in baseball. Like, that is a legit lineup. And I'm going to have a hard time not betting on them to win the AL, honestly.
I'm going to go with truth, too. I do think that they're going to pull out with the AL East division. You know, I definitely agree with you that the pitching side of it for the postseason does scare me. I think this offseason, they can't keep relying on their young guys. They're going to have to go out and spend some money, especially on pitching, because it's something that they lack. I think they can get away with it with their lineup, because slowly but surely, those young bucks, Gunnar Henderson has had a terrific rookie season. Yes, next year he's going to have kind of almost his junior season, because if you remember, he came up last year and was there for about 2 months too. So a lot of these guys that are in their lineup are starting to become a little bit more experienced, which is nice, but they're definitely going to need some pitching.
Hold on. First of all, like, John Angelos is an idiot. So I don't know if he'll even spend the money, right? So, like, they're in a tough spot, but if he wants to bring a championship to Baltimore, his window has just opened, and it's about a 4 or 5 year window. You need to spend money. If you don't, you will go down as the second biggest hated owner in that area next to Dan Snyder.
And that's saying something.
Second up on the list, though, today, we got Zach Wilson. Will he stay the QB for the Jets while Rodgers is out? This week two in football, the Jets lost to the Dallas Cowboys 30-10. It was not pretty. I'm gonna go with this is the truth. I think that someone's going to get traded. I think that there's a lot of free agent quarterbacks out there that they may take a flyer on somebody maybe midway through the season. I don't see it. I understand that people think that Aaron Rodgers on the sideline is going to help Zach Wilson a lot, and I think there is some value to that, but I don't think it's going to be game-changing enough to where he's going to lead this team.
So, but you said Zach Wilson you said truth.
Oh, sorry, fluke.
Okay, yeah, so you're going, okay. I'm going fluke. Truth.
I do think, okay.
I'm going truth for one reason alone. I think they know their season's chalked. And I think if you have Zach Wilson, like I do think they're going to get a top six pick. And I do think they need it. If Rodgers can heal, that's fine. But if he can't, at least in the offseason, they can make a play at, you know, one of those top quarterbacks coming out. But I do think you got to see what the kid has. But that wasn't the only issue for the Jets today. Their defense absolutely looked like dog shit. And that's supposed to be their go-to. So with that defense, they're supposed to stay in games. Up. Yeah. So, you know, and I know the Cowboys are good, but I don't know. They're not in a good situation, and it happened on a snap of a finger. And I kind of feel bad for him after I saw his interview.
You know, I'm pretty sure Mike White is still the backup there, and he had some success last year when he came in as the third quarterback. I'm going to have to go with truth, because I don't think an experienced veteran is going to come in and save him. I think if anything that happens, it's either Zach Wilson staying and them not having a very good year, or someone like Mike White coming in from within the organization, just getting promoted, and them still not having a great year. I still think they're sub 500 team without Rodgers here. You know, top six would be huge, Dean, because it is an absolutely loaded quarterback class right now.
Next up for truth or fluke, will Aaron Rodgers play if the Jets make the postseason? There's been some reporting that there's a chance if they make the postseason, he could play. I'm going to go with fluke because I do not think that the Jets even make the playoffs. And I also don't think that he would even be ready, because that'd be something that nobody has even done before.
I'm totally with you. It's a fluke. I don't think there's a shot in hell this team makes the playoffs. It has to be like a media thing, a team morale type of motivation or something like that. But there's no shot. If they do make the playoffs, Jedi, I'll buy you Yankee playoff tickets whenever they make it.
Thank you. It might be a while, but I'll
it won't be this year.
Fucking years for it. It fucking bums.
Oh man. No, I think it's got to be a fluke, unless it's, like you said, Jedi, unless it's the quickest comeback from a ruptured Achilles in the history of mankind, it's not going to happen. Unless he comes back with a bionic leg and the NFL approves it, he's not coming back this year. It ain't happening.
Mm-hmm. And the last one for this truth or fluke, Travis Hunter is going to be out a few weeks for Colorado. Is their season now on the line losing their star player? I'm going to go with truth, because they struggled against Colorado State, and there's no denying that.
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about whether or not we were believing the hype. I think that was last week's truth or fluke, and we all said – I tried to go truke, and you wouldn't let me.
Correct.
So for this one, I'm going to say truth, and I'm also going to say them struggling against Colorado State is a massive problem. Their next 2 weeks, they're about to get tested really quick. I'm 90% sure it's Oregon and then USC back to back. Right? So on a snap of a finger, this team could be 3-2, and they might get rolled in both of those games. So
I'm gonna say will be.
What?
I said, I'm going to say will be.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, I think they're going to get rolled. But the main issue I have with Colorado, should I save this for my final thought?
You could if you want.
Yeah, I'm going to save this for my final thought because it's been really bothering me.
Deepaw, what do you got?
So, is the truth or fluke on, are we still believing the hype?
Is their season on the line?
I'm going to say fluke. I don't think their season's on the line right now. Dino, you bring up their next two games, and while huge, going into the season, I think they had like a two or three win projection. That USC and that Oregon games were already chopped up as L's. Like, even if they came into that game undefeated, which they are, I still think those two games are going to be L's. So they're still going to be wildly successful from what the original expectations were. I don't necessarily say – I didn't truly believe that they were, you know, national championship contenders. It's tough for me to say that, you know, the season's on the line for them. I would have chalked those two games up as L's anyway, and I still think they get, you know, 8-9 wins and have a very successful season.
If they go 7-5, is that a success?
It's time for the best 60 seconds of your life. You're going to hear Dino and D-Paul recap this week in NFL.
All right, well, first of all, obviously the Commanders are 2-0 for the first time since 2011, which we already talked about. The Packers lose a tight one. Desmond Ridder keeps putting up points. Deepaw, I'm shocked because I don't really like the guy.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm a little shocked as well with Jordan Love. I think I saw that he threw another three touchdown passes, but he threw for like 180 yards, so I don't know what the hell's going on there.
Yeah, Bills roll the Raiders. Shocker. It's an ebb and flow type of team. Bengals drop to 0-2. Not worried yet, but Jedi, you mentioned the calf as being a problem, and he's re-aggravated it. I think we got a problem there. Seahawks stun the Lions, in my opinion. Titans, I don't know a single person on the Titans, so I don't really care other than Derrick Henry. The Bucks are 2-0 behind Baker Mayfield. What is going on?
Baker,
the Texans are the worst team in football and might not win a game all year. Niners go to 2-0, which is no surprise to anybody. Rams and McVay kick a field goal at the buzzer to cover the spread. Kind of a scumbag move.
What a scumbag.
Giants finally get on the win column. They scored a point. What a shocker to New York football. And the Cowboys dismantle the lonely Jets. Deepaw, you have any takeaways from this week?
I think you hit all the nails on the head. I think the biggest takeaway I got, I know it wasn't against a great offense, but I think the Dallas Cowboys defense is legit. And I'm not just saying that from the 40-0 shellacking, but they got playmakers everywhere, and Micah Parsons might be Defensive Player of the Year this year.
Dropping the 717 for sure.
Well, there you have your best 60 seconds of your life. But before we get out of here, Dino, what's your final thought?
My final thought is this. I'm circling back to Colorado. Right, sure, yeah, it's hype. Woo, Deion's here, prime time. Woo, stop storming the fucking field every time you win a game. You beat Colorado State, who was 0-1. You should have blown them out. I know it was an exciting finish, but my Lord, college basketball, you're storming the court when like a 14 beats a 6. Football, we're storming the field. What are we doing? It's a ranked opponent against a non-ranked opponent. What are we doing?
I was at a wedding. I had no idea they stormed the field. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. An 0-1 team, you're supposed to, that the spread was over 21, or it was like 24 points, and you're storming the field because you beat them in overtime? That's trash, man.
Trash, dude. It might be the trash bag of the week. I don't even
that might
know
be the
yet.
Trash bag of the week.
Yeah. I think it might be. Yeah, I think it's crazy. Yeah, that's my final thought, dude. That's annoying me, man. Like, storming the field, storming the court, it was meant for, like, a certain reason. If you're going to do it every week, I don't care.
It's not special.
Not special. For a guy that has won 2 Super Bowls and made a World Series appearance, on top of that, being a two-sport athlete, played in like, Game 3 of the World Series, flew, played a football game, and came back the next day and sat the bench in Game 3 or 4, whichever it was. He played 3 professional games in 2 different sports in 3 days. Like, for a guy who has been in big moments, there's just no feel in this situation.
Well, that's going to be all for us here at Hot Shots. Make sure to follow us on social media at Hot Shots Podcast. That way you're stayed up to date on all your sports news and hear all the cool rankings, draft, Mount Rushmore things that we do. As always, hit that subscribe button if you do enjoy this. And leave a comment what you do enjoy and things that you agree or disagree with. We want to hear from you at Hot Shots Podcast. Until next time, we'll talk to you then. See ya.